So as I was reflecting on the scripture this week, I found myself wandering a little bit away from probably what Jesus meant by these words. You see, while some people crave sweets and chocolate, I crave salt. Salty things like peanuts and pizza and potato chips. So this week, I found myself craving all those things. And then it was the same sort of thing with "You are the light of the world." Because we've had a lot of rain. And I know we've needed the rain, and I'm very, very thankful for it. I sure have been craving sunshine. I know it's going to come, but I miss it. So putting all those cravings aside, Jesus' words made me think of a book, Eats, Shoots, and Leaves. You know that book? Some of you have read it. It's got a panda on the front cover, and it's written by Lynn Truss, The Zero Tolerance Approach to Punctuation. So the title illustrates the point of the book beautifully. If you read it one way, a panda is a bear that eats shoots and leaves. Read another way, if you just insert a couple of innocent commas, the panda bear turns into this rather aggressive bear. It eats shoots and leaves. So you see, punctuation really does make a difference. And similarly, words make a difference. When they're emphasized, they have a difference in meaning. So this probably sounds a little bit nerdy, but I remember as a kid how in those last few simmering days of summer vacation, we would get really bored and we'd had nothing else to do. So we would do silly things. We would play silly games, pointless games, to keep ourselves amused. And I can admit that now that I'm an adult, but I would never have admitted that if I were in upper elementary school or middle school. We'd play things like putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable, right? So we do the same with sentences by emphasizing the first word of the sentence and then the second and then the third and so on, and we just get a kick out of how goofy that sounded. So if I use the example, "You are the light of the world," we'd say in our little group of four or five, we'd say together, "You are the light of the world. You 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 are the light of the world. And you are the light of the world." Sounds kind of silly. But when you think about it, each of those can have a little bit of a different meaning. They have differences, and some of them are subtle and some of them less so, but the same goes for "You are the salt of the earth," the same sentence. So in both of those sentences, with those different emphases, you can actually have some good theological discussions there. But we're not going to do that today. I just want to talk about the second sentence. "You are the light of the world, and you are the salt of the earth." So if we read the sentences that way and imagine that Jesus is speaking to us, then Jesus is giving us an identity. He isn't saying, "You will be salt and light," or "I want you to be salt and light," or "You should try to be like salt and light." Jesus is saying, "You already are. You already are the salt of the earth. You already are the light of the world. You just are." Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, you are. So remember that Jesus is talking to his disciples in this sermon, his Sermon on the Mount. And so last week, he started that sermon with the Beatitudes. And he talked about what the kingdom of God would look like, who was going to be blessed, and who needed care. But Jesus isn't finished his sermon. We're going to be in that sermon for 3 more weeks. That is a very long sermon. Aren't you glad I don't preach like that? No, Jesus was just getting started. In the Beatitudes, he described what the kingdom of heaven would look like, and now he's giving them this identity. He's telling them who they are, salt and light. They may have been kind of scratching their heads at this point, wondering, what on earth is Jesus talking about? And what was Jesus talking about? Well, light and salt, are both essential for life. Our physical bodies can't live without them. Our bodies need salt to control fluid balance and to transmit nerve impulses and to help our muscles contract and expand or relax. Our bodies need to be nourished, and the food we eat needs sun or sunlight, like photosynthesis. We need vitamin D to absorb calcium. And without the sun or sunlight, our planet would probably freeze over and make it uninhabitable. Salt is also a preservative, and it speeds up the wounding process. And it's a seasoning that enhances food to make it better. Being salt is seasoning what is bland, healing what is broken, and making life better. Light helps us find our way and reveals what we can't always see, like injustice and fear and despair. So these two precious gifts of creation are necessary for living, and they're especially necessary for kingdom living. If there ever was a time to really be salt and light, it's right now. There's a lot of unrest and fear and despair everywhere. And there's a lot that doesn't resemble what the kingdom of heaven looks like the way Jesus described it. How can we pour out our salt? How can we illuminate what needs to be seen and reflect the light of Christ throughout the world? Well, I'm going to suggest that there are actually countless of ways that we can do that. Ways that are small and doable, like taking shifts at the women's shelter at the Episcopal Church in Almaden, or attending Beautiful Day, or making donations to organizations that respect the dignity of all people. And there are Episcopal ministries that you can donate to if you care to. So instead of hiding under a bushel basket, you can participate in civil discourse. You can listen to the voices of those who don't share your views. Some actions take time and money, a little bit more preparation. So I know a lot of people who travel long distances to go to Washington, D.C., and walk in solidarity with other women who are shedding light on the magnitude of injustices inflicted on women all over the world. One of the best ways, though, that we can be salt and light in times like these is to educate ourselves about the issues. Those issues that are perpetuating fear and anger, that are hurting people, that do not respect the dignity of every human being. Last week, middle of the week, I think, there was the Episcopal Migration Ministries did a free webinar. It was called The Episcopal Church Welcomes Refugees. It was a free webinar. Now, even if you don't agree with or care to support their mission, it was a learning opportunity. I learned several things, and you can go onto their website and learn more. Another great learning opportunity is coming up on February 15th, a week from Wednesday, right here in Edwards Hall. A woman named Maha El-Ghanaidi is the founder of the Islamic Networks Group, and she's coming to speak about getting to know American Muslims and their faith. ING, Islamic Networks Group, Their mission is focused on educating others in order to counter the prejudice and discrimination against American Muslims. It's attending things like this and bringing a friend, that's one way to be. It's just one way, but it's a good way to be salt and light. When Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world," he's not teaching us how to be disciples as much as he's saying, we are disciples. You are salt and light. I have confidence in you. You are my agent in the world. This is who you already are. Let your light shine before others and restore flavor to the flavorless so that all will know the kingdom of heaven. Something else to consider is that salt and light are worthless on their own. They only become effective or valuable in conjunction with something else, when they have a purpose, or like making food tasty and lighting a dark room. They're necessary for life. Their purpose is life-giving. So here's some deductive logic for you. If you and I are the salt and light of the earth, and we need salt and light to live, then we need each other. And I think that's part of the point that Jesus is making. It's that community thing that I keep talking about and bringing up. Jesus spoke to the disciples as a group. So we need to remind ourselves of this, and I have some cards to pass out so that you can remind each other and yourself that you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. And maybe I can start with Amy. And you can put these up on your fridge. And don't forget, here you go, John. You are the, you know what one? That's good. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are, John. You have to remember this every day. Every time you walk out the door, all the time, that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Thanks be to God.